Fame. It's always been a powerful force. A dream, a goal, a pursuit. There was a time when fame was reserved for royalty, rock stars and revolutionaries. But somewhere along the way, it got rebranded. We used to want to be astronauts, doctors or firefighters. Now more kids statistically dream of being influencers. Whilst fame used to be a byproduct of talent, now it's often the goal itself. Last episode, we met Pepe, who at 19 was on the verge of making it back in the 60s, and Flo Wilkes, also 19, just beginning, navigating a fame game that looks nothing like the one Pepe played. Flo's made it to the final of the New Blood competition, and later, we'll find out, can she win that coveted spot to play the Isle of Wight Festival?
Tonight's lucky winner that will be playing the Isle of Wight Festival 2025 is...
So why do some people make it and some don't? Is it talent, timing, relentless self-belief? And how do you keep going, chasing a dream that feels so close, yet always just out of reach?
The number of tracks being uploaded every day is frightening. And everybody's thinking that they're part of the gold rush and that we live in this incredible society where anything's possible. And yes, it's true, it is. Anything is possible for a microscopic percentage of the population.
In 1965, Pepe had landed a record deal with Polydor. But the fame she'd dreamed of didn't arrive like she had hoped.
It wasn't going to happen. They didn't renew my contract.
But she didn't stop. She kept going, working, adapting, making music in any way she could.
It didn't stop me. It didn't stop my hunger and thirst for this elusive star. And that's when I became a backing singer.
So instead of chasing centre stage, she took a step towards the back, performing with a range of artists and bands, including the pioneering British synth group, Art of Noise, whose 1986 single, Peter Gunn, heard here, went on to win a Grammy.
As a backing singer, it was a job to do, always interesting. And you had to be good at what you did.
But you're not in the spotlight in the same way.
But you're not in the spotlight, no. But that drive to somehow be recognised was still there.
And it was when she was working as a backing singer that Pepe met someone who was to become a lifelong friend.
As a singer.
Tessa Niles.
I won a talent contest when I was 13 for Capital Radio. And... That was the pivotal moment for me, because then I thought, okay, maybe I can do this. And I was off and running. I was off to the races, like, okay, this is me. This is what I want to do.
Tessa's first big break came when Sting invited her to join the Police on their Synchronicity World Tour. Described as the most famous person you've probably never heard of, Tess has been the voice behind music's greatest stars. With a voice that could adapt to almost any style, she quickly became one of the most sought-after backing vocalists in the business. But happily shining whilst in the background.
To me, I knew my USP. I knew that what I did as a session singer was special. I had doubts about whether I had the right stuff to be an artist. Because in the interim, I'd tried to be a solo artist. And that just did not sit. I didn't have the right stuff for that. And it didn't feel authentic.
Tessa has shared stages with legends. A voice blending seamlessly with the likes of Bowie, Eric Clapton, Tina Turner, her harmonies filling stadiums. Her name? Less well known. But maybe that was never the point. After all, the front row might get the spotlight, but for some, the clearest view is from just behind it.
Maybe that's the thing. See, I felt comfortable in the studio working for other people, but being an artist is desperately uncomfortable.
You're hidden in the studio. Absolutely.
So in order to step out of that, you know, you have to face that, the glare of the spotlight, and you have to be naked.
Yeah.
And you have to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever wanted to be vulnerable, really, if I think about it now.
Yeah. So while others step back, what is it that pulls some people toward the spotlight? And when the odds are so stacked against you, why do so many people try?
How are you, Naomi? I'm sorry I'm late. I was just...
Here's Matt Thomas, a music industry veteran with over 30 years of experience, a coach, mediator, and trusted troubleshooter for those navigating the pressures and high stakes of life in music.
Knowing that the odds are microscopic, why do so many people still want to give it a try is like, you know, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It is the ultimate dream of being that person who's performing at Wembley in front of 100,000 people. So why wouldn't you? You know, it's the most natural thing in the world.
But is it true? Like the singer Pink once said, you'll be a pop star. All you have to change is everything you are. Is that what it takes?
To be an artist, you have to wake up in the morning and the first thing you think about is your art. How am I going to progress today? What am I going to do? Who am I going to call? And unless you're prepared to do that and live, eat, sleep, breathe your vision, you're certainly not going to make it.
This is the annoying thing, but it's also the thing that keeps everyone still fighting in the music industry.
I'm hungover again. I went out with my friends. They said it'd be fine to get out of my mind. Now I'm stuck in my bed.
You don't know the combination to what it takes to make it. So everyone just wants to try and nail it.
When I said the wrong thing.
I'm Anna Straker. I'm 28 years old and I am a artist, producer, songwriter, general pop star.
Anna's music, which you're hearing now, has taken her from Japan to Glastonbury Festival with over 10 million streams worldwide.
I'll be okay.
It's like this really addictive, like catch 22 where you're like, it could just be one step away, or it might not be, but you're always going to take the chance.
Absolutely. It's like going into a casino where you gamble and you're desperately hoping that that one trip will come up.
Exactly.
That one song, that one performance.
We're all just gambling at it.
All gambling on it. When I look at my phone, I can feel so alone. Start convincing myself that everyone else is doing better than me. Cause I turned 23, still don't have a Grammy. Everything that I got doesn't feel like a lot when I'm unhappy.
It can be addictive and seductive. And it is a gamble. That's the model of most people in the music business, certainly record labels and music publishers. It's like, right, well, we're gonna gamble on 100 acts, and you know, maybe 10 of them might make it, depending on what their numbers are. But it is a big gamble, and I do think it's really important for, you know, younger musicians coming into it to be aware that they are part of that gamble.
Fame, it seems, can often come with a lottery ticket and a ticking clock. And as we've heard, the music industry can be unforgiving, demanding quick success and moving on just as quickly when it doesn't arrive.
At the time, I was like approaching 25 and they said to me like, well, you know, you're getting to 25 next year and that's kind of a bit old now to be doing this. And I was like, what? 25? That's not old at all. And they were like, well, you're just a really good songwriter. So maybe let's just like put you as a just a songwriter and like put the artist thing on hold. And I just was like, this, it upset me to my core. I just felt like I was just getting started at 24, you know? So I completely stopped working with them. And it felt so brutal because I went from like, you know, having this support system and a team and a plan and all this stuff to like, not like no one. So I just spent like a year writing. It was actually amazing because I'd never had an opportunity to spend like a year writing by myself without any of these other cooks in the kitchen. And that's where I really found like this authentic, true to myself and nobody else artist projects.
Wonderful.
And
wonderful.
I needed that to happen. So even though it was so brutal, it also now looking back led me to the best thing ever.
Yeah.
And for Pepe, it was also when she allowed herself to focus on the music she really loved when things started to happen.
Certainly, when I found jazz, that was when I felt most at home. This was my music. And made me feel this is where I belong. It's where I have my band called Turning Point. Singing such incredibly difficult music, which pushed me mentally and physically with my voice. It was the highest point, I think, musically of my life. And that was the beginning of a very successful time. I felt so rewarded working with the most incredible musicians and them accepting me as a musician.
The deception that bothers me the most at the moment is the idea that the music industry has somehow been democratized for everybody, and that because of social media and, you know, new distribution methods and streaming, that everybody's got an equal chance. And the truth of the matter is, it's almost the opposite. And weirdly, the odds are more stacked than ever for somebody entering today, because there's just so much more competition, because everybody has got a shot now. For anybody entering the music industry now, they've got a lot more to deal with.
My friends are like, you've made it this far. Appreciate that you've made it this far, but when you're so one track mind, it can just feel scary.
Remember Flo Wilkes, the young 19-year-old with a dream, whose mind right now is fixed on one thing: gambling on winning the New Blood competition, and with it that coveted spot to play the Isle of Wight Festival, a breakthrough moment that could change everything.
My first thought when I won the semi-finals wasn't, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm so proud of myself. It was, thank God. Because I think a lot of the time, instead of recognizing my own achievements, I think, okay, thank God I got through that so I can achieve the next thing.
So I'm walking down Shepherd's Bush High Street.
And this next thing is tonight. The grand final at London's Bush Hall. More than 5,000 bands entered. Only 7 made it to the final. And Flo is one of them. It all comes down to this: one performance, one chance to win a place at the Isle of Wight Festival. It's a packed Bush Hall, standing room only.
Gosh, what an amazing room.
Legends like Amy Winehouse and Adele have stood on this stage and played here, and tonight it's full of people wondering.
We're now down to the final 7 tonight.
Could I be next?
We had over 5,000 bands apart. So to get from 5,000 down to the final 7, I'm not that great at maths, but it's a pretty fucking big deal, if you ask me.
The competition is fierce. Each band cheered and championed. The final decision rests with the industry, the festival organisers. They're not just looking for good songs, they're judging the full package. Crowd connection, songwriting, musicianship. And just past 10 p.m, Flo is the last one to play. Being here, watching and waiting, what you really begin to see is that it isn't just about tonight. It's about years of writing songs in your bedroom, of wondering if you're good enough, of dreaming what it might feel like to stand up there. And then, it's out of your hands. The judges, the gatekeepers, they decide.
And now, the real reason you're all still here, can we have a drum roll, please? Tonight's lucky winner that will be playing the Isle of Wight Festival 2025 is... Flo Will!
And then they say her name. And it's a goosebump moment. Because I know what this means for her. What it could mean. The doors it might open. For an emerging artist like her, this isn't just a win. It's a beginning.
This is destiny. Like, these are all people who genuinely believe in her. She's spent the time perfecting her craft to get to this point. This is just the beginning. Like, she's incredible. Honestly. It's incredible. Thank you. Yes! Yes!
And as for Pepe, her story's not finished either, because pursuing fame, especially in the music business, is never a straight line. It takes different twists and turns.
Pepe, if you're watching right now, we want to say thank you so much for bringing Emma to us.
Next time, we discover why the Spice Girls and talk show legend Jonathan Ross became part of Pepe's story.
I think she'd want a little bit of the ka-ching, never mind just that. I mean, if I know Pepe like I know Pepe.